reasoned together, saith the Lord. Though your sons be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12:29. Those who accept Christ, in his first confidence says, I am saved, are in danger of trusting in self. They lose sight of their own weaknesses and their constant need of divine strength. They are unprepared for Satan's devices. Our only safety is in the constant distrust of self and dependence on Christ. Man's great danger is in being self-deceived, indulging self-sufficiency, and thus separating from God, the source of his strength. The Lord is coming very soon, and we are entering into the scenes of calamity. We need not say the perils of the last days are soon to come upon us. Already they have come. We need now the sword of the Lord to cut through this very soul and marrow of fleshly lusts, appetites, and passions. Minds that have been given up to loose thought need to change. The thoughts must be concentrated upon God. Now is the time to put forth earnest effort to overcome the natural tendency of the carnal heart. As the storm approaches, a last class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. By uniting with the world and partaking with the Spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Men of talent and pleasing address, who once rejoiced in the truth, employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. We are in the shaking time, the time when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The Lord will not excuse those who know the truth if they do not in word and deed obey his command.
Let us pray. Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, once again, Heavenly Father, we are most grateful and thankful that your long-suffering towards us has still extended this day. But help us, Father, not to take this long-suffering for granted, because one day this long-suffering of God will run out. And those who continue to abide by the worldly counsels and not the counsel of God will be found in the world wanting, without a shepherd and without a Savior. And when all is said and done, Father, we pray that we, along with our family members and friends and our listening audience, will be prepared to meet you with joy and gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our audience this morning, this afternoon, and we want to say a special welcome to those who might be listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Or if you have any comments that you want to write to us, you could write us at P.O. Box N8993. As most of you might be aware, maybe our new listeners might not be, we have a website where you could hear these shows and other topics on health, Ms. McKinney, and other notes that Brother Paul have written in the newspaper. You can find us at www.tpministries.org. Our health discussion this afternoon is on depression. And once again, we'll be talking about the ceiling in our Bible segment. We also want to make a special note, or we want you to make a special note, that on May the 8th, Monday, May the 8th, we'll have a call-in show live from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the importance of the Ten Commandments. So please remember that. Make a note on your calendar. Tell your family and friends that we have a live call-in show on May the 8th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Now here's Mrs. McKinney on depression.
Depression. There are so many people that I have come in contact with who are tremendously depressed. And I think that for the most part, we need to come to a realization that we are sick before help can be given. But depression is a whole body illness. It involves the body, the nervous system, moods, thoughts, and our behavior. It affects the way we eat, the way we sleep, the way we feel about ourselves, and the way a person reacts to and think about the people and things around them. What was once pleasurable has now become of little interest. People with depression typically withdraw and hide from society. They lose interest in everything around them. The problems facing one person may not necessarily be more serious than the problems facing another, but the affected person has less ability to deal with the stress. Of special concern is how disruptive to the person's life the condition has become. Some people are not able to function in the workplace, and so they are asked to leave. Some people aren't able to function in their homes, and sometimes they are placed in homes where they are taken care of. What are some of the symptoms of persons who may be depressed? And you can look for these symptoms in people around you, or even in yourself, if you're honest enough to admit that you may be a little depressed. Chronic fatigue, sleep disturbances. Either you may have maybe getting too much sleep, or you may not getting sufficient sleep. Changes in appetite. Some people don't eat at all. Some people eat too much. Headaches, backaches, digestive disorders, restlessness, irritability, quickness to anger, loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies, and feelings of worthlessness and inadequacy. Many people think of death and suicide. Things appear bleak and time seems to pass slowly. A person with depression may be chronically angry and irritable, sad and despairing, or display little or no emotion at all. Some try to sleep off this feeling of depression or do nothing at all. They simply sit around all day, or they lie on around all day. They do nothing at all. Depression may be triggered by stress. It may be triggered by tension, a traumatic life event, chemical imbalances in the brain, thyroid disorders, upset stomachs, headache, nutritional deficiencies, poor diet, the consumption of sugar, lack of exercise, endometriosis. Any serious physical disorder or allergies can trigger depression. One of the most common causes of depression is food allergies. Persons may be even hypoglycemic, which is what we refer to as low blood sugar. This is a very common cause of depression. Heredity is also a significant factor in depression. In up to 50% of people suffering from recurrent episodes of depression, one or both parents also experience depression. There are some foods that greatly influence the brain's behavior. A poor diet, especially constant snacking on junk food, is a common cause of depression. A poor diet, especially snacking on what? Junk food, causes depression or leads to depression. The levels of brain chemicals called neurotransmitters, which regulate our behavior, are controlled by what we eat, and neurotransmitters are closely linked to mood. The neurotransmitters most commonly associated with mood are dopamine, serotonin, and norepinephrine. When the brain produces these, we tend to think and act more quickly, and we are generally more alert. The consumption of tryptophan increases the amount of serotonin made by the brain, and thus eating foods like complex carbohydrates, which we've been focusing on for so long, helps to raise the levels of tryptophan in the brain, thereby increasing serotonin production, and has a beautiful calming effect. Otherwise, high protein foods causes persons to become alert and may not be ideal for persons who are very depressed. There are some nutrients that we would like to highlight that are very effective. As a matter of fact, they're not only effective, they are essential for persons who are experiencing depression. And these are the vitamin B complex and folic acid. We have highlighted these over and over and over again because the B vitamins are necessary for normal functioning of the brain and the nervous system. If depression is severe, very severe, then your doctor may recommend that you get the injectable form of vitamin B complex. Or you can always take the sublingual vitamin B, which is placed underneath the tongue, and it's almost as effective as the B injections. Remember, vitamin B complex is vital. We're not getting it in our foods because many of us are eating foods that have been processed and they are depleted of all of the nutrients that are necessary for us to function in our daily lives. Vitamin B happens to be one of those vitamins, and I see it evident in our country. I keep saying this because I think that people aren't fully understanding or fully aware of the significance, importance of taking or eating whole foods, because we really, really need to take them in as whole a state as possible. There are some other herbs that are very effective for depression. Aloe vera, found right in our backyard. Could you believe it? It's excellent supplement for depression. The flaxseed oil. The flaxseed oil is essential. You know, the thing is that the flaxseed has the omega-3 fatty acids. And the next on my list is that you must take in the essential fatty acids, because these are great in aiding in the transmission of nerve impulses, and it's needed for normal brain function. We get the omega-3 fatty acids in fish, but because of the mercury level in fish, we are trying to avoid the fish. And because of all the other problems with our fish, the cancer cells and the worms that are found in fish, we really want to avoid eating and consuming fish. So we would want to advise you to get it from the flaxseed or the soybean or the walnuts. Even the canola oil has some essential omega-3 fatty acids. Then the kelp is very effective. Also effective would be the spirulina, which is a protein supplement. There are some foods we want you to avoid as we wrap up here. Very quickly, you need to avoid foods high in saturated fats, like the meats, the fried foods, the hamburgers, the french fries. They lead to sluggishness, slow thinking, and fatigue. They interfere with blood flow by causing the arteries and small blood vessels to become blocked and the blood cells to become sticky and tend to clump together, resulting in poor circulation, especially in your brain. Avoid all forms of sugar, alcohol, caffeine, processed foods. Keep your mind active. Learn to recognize that you have a problem and try to reroute your negative thinking patterns. Remember that exercise is key. Exercise is perfect for helping you to feel better. It helps to elevate the mood and helps to get those endorphins running and in place. There's so much more that we'd like to share with you, but our time is always against us. But if you'd like to have a copy of what we shared today, or even a little more, for friends or yourself or family members, give us a call. And just remember that God loves you, and if you are in a state of depression, ask Him. Claim the promises that are found in the Word of God, and I promise you that He will give you the help that you need. May God bless you as you continue to listen to the rest of our program.
Thank you very much, Brother Sister Marlene, and good afternoon, Brother Paul.
Good afternoon, Brother Julian. Good afternoon, Bahamas.
Brother Paul, before we get into our question in this morning and continue our topic on the ceiling, could you give us a little update, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Julian. Well, for the past few weeks now, we've been inviting the nation to listen to the topic of the ceiling, which is a very, very important one. If there's any other topic that is very serious, ladies and gentlemen, it's this one, the topic on the ceiling. And perhaps maybe you can encourage your minister from your local church to do a study with you on the importance of the ceiling. And by all means, if he can't, you can feel free to invite us, and we'll come over to our church and share with you the importance of the ceiling and also the importance of not receiving the mark of the beast. Because there are only two groups of people, those who receive the seal of God and those who receive the seal of Satan, which is the mark of the beast, which none of us don't want, according to Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 to 12.
But Paul, there's a lot of talk going around about all these different things that are happening in the world today. Does the Bible or the Lord talk about these things happening?
Yes, it do. Luke chapter 7, and Jesus said these words about the end time events, pointing forward to the ceiling. He said in Luke 17, 26 and 27, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so should be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of Noah, Jesus said, they were eating and drinking and marrying wives, and were given in marriage until Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And today, people are eating everything they should not eat, like conch and crab and lobster and pork, and these things that they should not eat. So nothing has changed. Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 said these things are a no-no. We should not be eating conch and lobsters and crabs and conchs and pork and these sorts of meats. Then, just on every street corner, we have a bar today. They're also drinking today. And they're also marrying. As a matter of fact, the divorce rate in the church is almost that of the same as the world. What a shame. Even Christians are fulfilling the word of the Lord. Whether they're eating whatever they want to eat, because their ministers eat anything you want to eat. Drink whatever you want to drink. Just pray over it. But because of this, we have heart disease and strokes, and the list can go on in the medical field, and the doctors are getting rich, while our brothers and sisters in Radio Land and around the world are dying day after day.
But Paul, of course, there's another topic that has been big in the news, and that is about Brokeback Mountain, the movie about, they say the movie about two homosexual cowboys. Does the Bible warn us about these type of things also happening in the last days?
Yes, it do. Jesus talked about it here again, right in Luke 17, verse 28 to 30. He says, likewise also as in the days of Lot. And how was it in the days of Lot? In the days of Lot, there was a lot of homosexuality going on. It was so bad in the days of Lot that when the Lord dispatched two angels from heaven to deliver Lot and his wife and his family, when the angels came on the scene, the men of that day tried to have a relationship with the angels. Despite Lot trying to tell them, I have the relationship with my daughters, they said, no, we want those two young men. And the Bible said, even in that day, they were eating and drinking, and they bought and they sold and they planted and they built. But in that same day, the Lord went out of Sodom, the Bible said, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days of the Son of Man when he is revealed. So the Bible says, in the days of Noah, they were destroyed by flood. In the days of Lot, they were destroyed by fire. And also in Revelation 20, it says that you and I, we be lost. Like those who were lost in the days of Lot and Noah, we also be destroyed by fire. But the thing about it in the days of Lot was, they was buying and they were selling and they were building. Isn't that the same thing that's happening today? People are building bigger homes and getting rid of their smaller homes, selling, buying properties and selling properties. So busy as it was in the days of Lot. It's the same reality that we are being faced with today. What is the result? A lot of these parents who are caught up in this type of lifestyle, their children are becoming into the lifestyle of homosexuality. Could it be the Lord is trying to send us a warning? Let our eyes be open, ladies and gentlemen, and being led by the Spirit of God, realizing that these things are being fulfilled right before our eyes in the days of which we speak.
Are you saying that Sodom and Gomorrah basically was destroyed because of homosexuality?
Along with other things, not only homosexuality, but they were so caught up in the cares of the life of that day, they were also destroyed. But the main reason why they were destroyed was because of homosexuality, because the Bible says they were too busy buying and selling and billing. So when the Lord came for them to leave, they were too busy partaking in these things that should have been a sideshow. But they were so caught up in the cares of life of that day that it was caused the reason why they were destroyed.
What should be, or what should ministers and Christians be doing today, even though we see all this thing happening in our society?
According to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1, the time has come for us more than ever before to cry aloud and stand up and lift up our voices like a trumpet and show God's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. But the problem is a lot of people don't know what transgression means, neither do they know what sins mean, because most of the ministers of the gospel don't take time out to tell them. How do we know? Because many times we meet ministers of the gospel and we question them, tell us what is sin. And most of them will say, well, doing something wrong or anything or something. No, but what does the Bible say sin is? And most of the time they don't even want to go to what 1 John 3:4 says. For whosoever transgresses the law also commit sin, for sin is the transgression of the law. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've met one minister to ever read that scripture into my listening ears. I stand to be corrected here. Every minister will always tell me what it could be, but never would go to the Bible and tell me what the Bible said it is. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whenever you and I sin, we transgress the commandments of God.
Brother Paul, before I go on to the transgression question, I want to ask you another one. What does it mean to cry aloud?
To cry aloud simply means to get your Bible and let the Bible speak loudly and clearly to the ears of the listening audience what is going on in the world in which we live. You see, David tells us that we must hide the word of God in our hearts if we may not sin against God. But what is being cried aloud from the pulpit today? If you do this and you do this, God will bless you. If you do this and you do this, there will be extra blessings. And the reason why you're not being blessed is because of X, Y, Z. When if you should go to the Bible for those principles, they cannot be found. So cry aloud the Bible principle. Like Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then he says to John the Apostle, John the Revelator, he said, if we should add to the word, or if we should take away from the word, he'll take our names out of the book of life.
Okay, you talked about transgression, and sin. What are transgression and sin?
Transgression and sin, according to 1 John 3:4, is the transgression of God's law. Let's look at this law today in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17. The first one says, and God spake all these words, saying. A lot of times when we point people to the commandments, they think it's members of Turning Point, or they think it's the pastor or the preacher. But God spake all the words, saying.
Or
what did he say? God spake all the words, saying, he spoke these words to the congregation, and then he wrote them on tables of stone, giving them to Moses. And God said, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of land, out of the house of bondage and out of the land of Egypt. Bondage simply means sin. He said, if you believe I did this, thou shalt have no other gods before me, meaning that he is the only supreme God. And anytime you and I go contrary to God, that means we have taken out another God. He He also had a vision of making engraven images. Here's another one. We have images of Peter and Mary and all these other images, even images of animals that people are bowing down. Even in foreign lands, they bow down to images that they have made, thinking that these things have taken the place of God. Then the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Last week, he showed you the importance of not using God's name, attaching to ministers of the gospel who are not deserving of names like reverence or fathers. The Bible says that is God's name, and we should not take his name in vain. Then this one that caused a lot of controversy in the Christian arena, Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But which day is the Sabbath day? According to Exodus chapter 28 to 11, the seventh day is the Sabbath day. But here we have a majority of people going to church on Sunday. A lot of them are not aware of it. But since we've been on this show, we've been bringing to your remembrance the importance of studying the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, let it be known today that if you have studied the truth for yourself, and if you had made it perfectly clear to you how the change came about, and you are still where you are, worshiping on Sunday, God surely will hold you accountable. But today, for the first time, you might be hearing this message about the importance of the seventh-day Sabbath. Today, God invites you to take up your Bible and take up your history book and see how the change was made from the seventh day to the first day. Then we have in verse 12 of Exodus 20, the importance of honoring our fathers and our mothers. And because of this, a lot of young people are dying early. This is one of those commandments that the Bible gives with a promise, that if you honor your father and your mother, your days will be long upon the land. Then thou shalt not kill. In verses 13, here again, you not only kill yourself physically, you also can kill yourself spiritually, or you also can kill someone by some of the things you say to them. Thou shalt not commit adultery is another one that is widely spread all around the world on dress. And committing spiritual adultery, doing things that are not a part of God. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, or thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house or thy neighbor's wife, and so on. So these are the commandments in a nutshell. And like we said earlier, we will continue to share these commandments with you because they are very important. Because Proverbs says, if we should hide these commandments in our hearts, we will live long and there will be peace upon the land.
I think it's a good time now to let the audience know that on May the 8th, we will be going through these commandments on a show that will be aired on ZNS on the same station from 8 to 10. We'll have a call-in show, where we will be discussing these 10 commandments. Now, Brother Paul, what is the only way for us to fulfill what God is requiring of us in these 10 commandments?
The only way that can be fulfilled, Brother Julian, is once we continue to allow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's strength and his power. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26. And then he said unto his disciples, today, if any man or woman would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? And you know today people are giving all kinds of things for an exchange for their soul, as if they have the life to take their life up again. So Jesus said, if you want to live peacefully and live unto the end, you must lose your life. And when you lose your life, he will then empower you with his life, and then you'll be able to live forever one day.
If we care not to deny ourselves, what camp would we fall in?
We will fall in the camp of the world. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15 to 17, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you abiding forever? The only way that is possible, if you are not falling in the lust and the pleasures of the world.
Could this be the reason why it seems that Christian communities are seem to be in love with the world by enjoying worldly music, listening to so-called Christian comedians and dance ministries and on and on and on?
It could be, Brother Julian, because they're not studying the Word of God. They're not hiding the Word of God in their heart like the Prophet David said. And if they were, the Prophet David said in Psalms 101, verse 103 to 108, he said, I will not set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the wicked of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. If a froward heart shall depart from me, I will not know any wicked person. Whosoever slandered his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him will I hate that have a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer. Mine eyes, he said, shall not be upon the faithful. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, he said, that they may dwell with me. And he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. And he that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house, said David. And he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, he said, and I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Are we following these instructions today? Think about it.
But Paul, you used some big words there, so I want to go through some of them. What does froward mean?
The word froward simply means stubbornly disobedient or contrary. In other words, if we are stubbornly being or disobedient or contrary to the word of God, then we are froward. Is that what we're doing today, ladies and gentlemen? Think about it.
What about slanderous?
Slanderous means false, destroying a false or destroying statement. A false, malicious statement that endangers somebody's reputation. Now, a lot of times people like to get mixed up calling sin by his right name with slanderous. If you're calling sin by his right name, most of the people say you are slandering or you're saying things to spoil someone's character or someone's reputation. But the thing about it is, when young men are hurled downtown Nassau, who are innocent until proven guilty, these young men are put in the front of the paper and no one knows if they're guilty or not. Think about that also when you think about someone's lives being slandered today.
What about proud?
The word proud means fostering a feeling of pride. And according to Proverbs 16 and 18, pride always goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit is before a fall. So if we are pride, if we are full of pride or we are proud today, remember, fall always comes before that.
Why is God calling us today to a life of holiness?
The reason why he's calling to a life of holiness, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13 to 14, let us hear the whole conclusion of the matter. It's very important for us to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man today.
Okay, what then should we be doing, seeing that we see all these Bible prophecies being fulfilled?
What we should be doing right now is, according to 1 Timothy 2, 15 to 16, studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for another opportunity and a privilege for us to come before your throne this afternoon. We come before you, O God, asking for insight into the prophecies and the things that we see happening in our world today. Lord, we ask you to give us the power and the strength to go and study, to go and read our Bibles, to question those in authority, to find out what needs to be done in this late stage of earth history. Give us the power and the strength, O Lord, to follow what we know to be truth. And even though those things may go against hidden prejudices and all these things, give us the power and the strength to do what is right. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with your family. This is Paul Miller.
And this is Julian Miller. May the love of God be with you and your family.